This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ayah in the whole Quran, Allah la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum, ayat al-kursi. In it is the two ayats that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever recites them at night, it will be sufficient for you. You will be protected. The last two ayahs of Al-Baqarah. Aman al-Rasul, and la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. This is a important chapter. That we, not only is it the lengthiest chapter, not only is it filled with lessons, rulings, morals, stories, it is one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us when he said that the Quran on the Day of Judgment, the Quran, the word of Allah on the Day of Judgment will be there either speaking on your behalf or against you. Against you if you never read it, acted upon it, lived by it, or for you if you did read it and lived by it and acted upon it. And the Quran will be led, the Prophet said, by Surah Ali Imran and Surah Al-Baqarah. So this is an extremely important chapter of the Quran. Again, I want you to imagine with me that you started to pick up the Quran and read it. And you opened it up and you came across the first chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, which we covered yesterday. And you are introduced to your Lord. Like we said, Surah Al-Fatiha is introducing you to your Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing Himself as your caretaker, your nurturer, describing Himself as your Lord, the most merciful, the giver of mercy, telling you there will be a day you will be held accountable, telling you that you need to ask Him, that you should worship Him alone, and that you should seek His help out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you're not the only one that is on this path, this straight path. There were people that came before you whom He favored, prophets and righteous people, and then there are those that went astray. Now, in Surah Al-Baqarah, all of that will be told to you in detail. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Alif Lam Mim, ذَهَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. In the surah, Allah immediately describes the book itself. What is this book? What is this message? Allah said it's hudan, it is a guidance. Is it guidance for everyone? No, it's للمتقين, those that are pious. And then Allah describes the pious people. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in really summarized way who the believers are. They are those who believe in the unseen. What makes you special is that you believe in the unseen. You have not met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet you love him more than anyone else and you believe in him. You have not seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you believe in him. You have not seen Jannah or Nar, yet you believe in it. That's what makes you special. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one day to his companions, how wondrous is the faith, the iman of my brothers. And the Sahaba said, he asked him, who are you talking about? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised a people. And then he said, do you know who has the best and the most amazing type of faith? And the Sahaba said, is it the angels? The Prophet ﷺ said, and why would the angels not believe when they are in the presence of the Almighty? And then he said, perhaps it's the prophets. He said, and why would the prophets not believe when they commune regularly with their Lord? He said, perhaps it's your companions. And he said, why would you not believe when I am right here in front of you? I'm amazed by the faith, by the iman of a people that have only heard of me, have only received a message, yet choose to believe in me. Allahu Akbar. Those who believe in the unseen. May Allah make us among those. Say Ameen. So Allah describes the believers, and then Allah describes certain characteristics immediately. If you want to know whether you are a true believer or not, they establish the prayer. They give that which Allah has given them from. They give charity. They believe in that which has been given to the Prophet, the Quran, and that which came before. And they believe in the hereafter. Now this concept of the hereafter is heavily discussed in Surah Al-Baqarah, the hereafter. Because to believe in the hereafter, you have to believe that there will be a resurrection. Which means you have to believe there is life after death. Something that was a hard pill to swallow with for many communities, including Quraysh. Quraysh, they said often to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَإِعِظَامًا إِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. After we die, we become dust. Will we be brought back? How is that possible? In the surah, Allah tells us five stories of reviving the dead. To tell us, I am able to revive you and I will revive you. And when I revive you, I will hold you accountable. Like I told you in Surah Al-Fatiha, Maliki Yawmiddin. In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah describes humanity. Three categories. The believers, who are just described. The non-believers that reject the truth, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ those who disbelieve. And finally, those that pretend to be believers but are actually not, the hypocrites. You're either one of those three. You're either someone that is saying that he believes, but deep down you don't. May Allah protect us from that. You are either someone that rejected the truth and ignored it, and you're not a believer, or you are one of the believers. May Allah make us among the believers. Say Ameen. So now that Allah described who we are and our characteristics, Allah then immediately went and gave us our first commandment. The first commandment in the Quran. And again, it's important that you appreciate, you open the Mus'haf, you're reading from Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter, and you're reading now. In all of Fatiha, there wasn't a command. You read Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah is not telling you to do anything. Allah is describing Himself, He's describing you, He's telling you about guidance, but there is no command. Then you read Surah Al-Baqarah and you start, there is no command. You read the first page, there's no command. You still haven't been told to do anything yet. And as you continue reading, the first command in Surah Al-Baqarah is Ayah 21. Ayah 21, the first command. And what is that? Ya ayyuhan nas. It's not a command to just the believers. O mankind, Allah says. O mankind, u'budu rabbakum. Worship your Lord. Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who has created you. Just you? No. Walladhina min qablikum, and those that came before you. Why should we worship Allah? La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may be protected. You may be protected from sin, from shamelessness, from immorality, from the fire. Worship your Lord. And then Allah describes why you should worship your Lord, because الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ أَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً, He's the one that spread the earth for you, created the sky for you as a canopy, brings forth rain. Allah does everything for you. He's the only one worthy of your worship. So if someone asks you, what is the first commandment in the Quran? And this is quite similar actually. Have you guys heard about the Ten Commandments of Musa or the Ten Commandments of Moses? You've heard this? The first one is quite fascinating. And if you open the Old Testament, the first commandment is, thou shalt worship only one God. The first command in the Quran that you come across is what? O mankind, u'budu rabbakum waladhi khalaqakum. Worship the Lord that has created you. So you see a similarity there. What's the first prohibition in the Quran? So before Allah commands us to pray, before Allah commands us to go to Hajj or to be kind to our parents, first Allah commands us, single me out in worship. Understand that. And before Allah prohibits us from alcohol or zina or anything else, the first prohibition is, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not give Allah equals. Do not give Allah partners. That's the first prohibition, which sets the tone for you. The greatest obligation upon you, my fellow Muslim, is that you single out Allah in worship. And the greatest thing that you should stay away from is to give Allah equals. And you might be wondering, well, I'm never going to worship idols. I'm never going to worship Jesus. I will never give Allah equals. But there are different ways people give Allah equals. If in your heart, the love you have for Allah, there's something equal to it. The fear you have of Allah, there's something equal to it. The devotion you have for Allah, there's something equal to it. Or maybe the laws Allah set and the laws man set, you find them similar or equal. You argue, well, I know Allah said this, but you're giving Allah an equal. Be very careful. Allah has no equal. His laws have no equals. And that's why Allah says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not give Allah an equal, because He has no equal. So now the tone is set. Allah told us who we are. You're either a Muslim or a kafir or a munafiq, a believer, an unbeliever, or a hypocrite. Then Allah tells us, your first thing that you need to know, your first commandment, worship Allah alone. The first thing you need to stay away from, shirk and idolatry and giving Allah equals. Then Allah tells us about our nature. What is humanity and who are human beings? If you want to know who you are, you need to assess and look at the first human being. The first story Allah told us is the story of Genesis, the beginning of mankind, Adam alayhi salam. Learn from your father. Allah is telling us, when I created the first human being, look at what happened. Something similar will probably happen to you. Allah creates Adam. And Allah teaches us that we are an honored people because of how Allah honored our father Adam. Allah honored our father to the point where the mankind, who we are, before we came into existence, Allah is speaking about us. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When your Lord said to His angels, there's no mankind yet, I will create for the earth a successive authority. A new being will emerge, and this being will live on earth, us. And they will be an authority on this earth. The angels became concerned. Oh Allah, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسُدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. oh Allah, are you going to create a creation that will cause corruption and shed blood? Do humans cause corruption? We do. Do we shed blood? We do. These were not wrong in that sense. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ Oh Allah, we praise you and we glorify you. And Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I know something you do not know. Allah is telling the angels, I, Allah the Almighty, know something you do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the potential human beings have, the potential and of worship that they have, because the human being, with our desires and our shortcomings, if we do things right, we can reach a height that isn't even beyond the angels. Look at the prophets. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all of Allah's creation. Look at Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah is saying to the angels, I know that which you not know. Allah created Adam, and then Allah made the angels bow down to Adam to signify that mankind is honored. Mankind is special. Mankind has great potential, but they also have potential for great corruption as well. May Allah protect us from that. Say Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells the angels to bow down, and immediately something happens. There is an individual among the angels, not an angel, but a creation among them, the devil, Shaitan, and he refuses. Why does he refuse? Arrogance. He felt that he was better than Adam. He didn't get why Adam was being treated so special. And that arrogance made him disobey. Wallahi, that happens so often to us. How often does someone, because of arrogance, they refuse to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times do we refuse to do the right thing because we're so upset or angry? How many times will someone approach you and remind you, but you don't like who they are or what they're saying to you? Arrogance overtakes you. Arrogance is the first sin. Arrogance is the first sin. And we are being warned. Right now Allah is teaching us, look, learn from Iblis. He was too proud to obey. Don't ever be like that. Then what happens? Iblis, the devil, he is removed from the mercy of Allah. He's accursed forever. He gets jealous. He says, I will show that humanity is just like me, that they will also disobey. Every single day we are in a battle with Shaitan. He's trying to prove his point. And we are meant to live up to when Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I know what you do not know, the great potential that we have. Adam goes to Jannah. Allah creates a wife for him. Hawa. Now we have two human beings. From them all of us came. Allah then tests them. Stay away from that tree. Stay away from that fruit. And at first they did. The Shaitan keeps coming back to them, enticing them until they fall into the sin and they eat from it. And then what happens? As they disobey Allah, consequences. They are removed from Jannah and sent down to earth, which was always the plan. This was always the plan. We were never meant to always live in Jannah. But the way we ended up here, or our father Adam ended up here, is very important. You learn mankind has the capacity to sin and to disobey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us that way. Hence why the aim is not to be perfect. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu ibn Adam khata." Every son of Adam often falls into sin, often make mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ So now, let's analyze, what did Adam do when he sinned? Was he proud like Iblis? No, he repented to Allah. فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Immediately you learn a lesson there. You will make mistakes just like your father did. It's in your nature to sin. And it is not the problem that you're sinning, but that you're not coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Return to your Lord. So we learn Tawbah. So now we have our first example of what it means to be the people that are on this earth to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will we be perfect? No. Will we fall into mistakes? Yes. What should you always avoid? Arrogance, because we'll end up like Iblis. What should you do when we fall into sin? Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson that we've learned. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, now that you've learned about an individual, about your father, about your nature, you're not going to be perfect. You have desires. You will make mistakes. When you do, return back to Allah. Allah says, we're not individuals, we're communities. And the Quran is being revealed upon one community, the Prophet and his companions. Let me tell you, Allah says, about a whole nation and how they failed to live up to what they meant to live up to, which was submission and worship. Banu Israel. The next 80 verses is telling you about the Banu Israel. Allah starts by saying that Allah mentions, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم ويا يفرحبون. O Banu Israel, remember the many blessings I have given you. And fulfill your promise to me. What was the promise? The promise was, Ya Allah, we will obey the messengers. We will live up, we will submit to you. We will not live up to our own desires, but the way you want us. Banu Israel, over and over and over again, they fail, they fail, they fail, they fail. Allah sends them prophets, they don't listen. They are given commandments, they refuse to obey. And as you read in the story, you see Prophet Musa struggling with them. You see them, they are saved from Allah. We saved you from the Pharaoh, Fir'aun. The moment they were saved, they were meant to be grateful and to listen to Prophet Musa. They do the opposite. They are not grateful and they don't listen to Prophet Musa. They continue challenging him. Prophet Muhammad used to say, whenever things get really difficult, may Allah have mercy on Musa. He had it more difficult than me. Whereas Prophet Musa, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had Abu Bakr and Umar by his side. We know how Musa ﷺ struggled. And then Allah continues telling us about this nation that struggled. And then until Allah tells us the story of the cow, Surah Al-Baqarah, which is named after, because that epitomizes the struggle. You hear you have a prophet telling his people, do this. And they're like, but what about this? But what about that? Challenging him, challenging him, challenging him. Until he says, فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Do as you're being told. There's another lesson in this incident, which is Allah revives someone in front of their eyes. Going back to the story into Surah Al-Baqarah proves Allah is able to revive the dead. After the Banu Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, I've told you about Adam and your nature. And you will make mistakes, but be like your father and repent. Allah tells us, here is a nation that continuously failed to live up to what it means to be a righteous person and listen to the prophets. Let me tell you now about someone to aspire to. Let me tell you about someone to try and be like. Someone so special, so amazing. He is the only prophet we are commanded to say in our salah. Can you tell me which prophet I'm talking about? A prophet that we say in our salah, in the tahiyyat, other than Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Prophet Ibrahim ﷺ. Prophet Ibrahim is so special, my brothers and sisters. Prophet Ibrahim, Allah uses him often as the example of complete submission. So he's so special. One time, one of the companions said to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Ya khayr al-bariyah, O best of creation. One of the companions saying to Prophet Muhammad, Oh, best of creation. Is he not the best of creation? He is. But the Prophet ﷺ is humble. He says, La, ذاك Ibrahim. No, not me. Ibrahim is the best of creation. And the ulama, they say that Ibrahim is the second best. Because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the greatest of the messengers. But being the second best is absolutely something that is amazing and he is worthy of. Allah tells us about Prophet Ibrahim. Look, all this time in Surah Al-Baqarah, the first juz, you're not being told about salah or zakat or hajj or fasting or the rulings of divorce. None of that. You're being prepared. What does it mean to be a worshipper? What does it mean to be someone that submits? Because if you don't learn that first, when Allah tells you to go to hajj, you're going to struggle. When Allah tells you to fast, you're going to struggle. So you need to be prepared first. What does it mean to be someone that obeys? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. When Allah tested Prophet Ibrahim with several different commandments. Ibrahim was tested with his father. He had to go against his own village. He was the only, he had to, as a young boy, he had to go against his family because they were idol worshippers. They throw him into the fire. He has to persevere. Allah saves him. He has to leave the land that he grew up in. He then deals with so many people, oppressors and corrupted people. He had to then deal with so many challenges, including the king Namrud, including many others that were oppressive, that were upon shirk, until he goes and he has to build the Kaaba, and he has to leave his family in the desert. He has to then try and slaughter his son. So many challenges. Allah keeps testing Prophet Ibrahim, and he passed with flying colors to the point Allah says, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He completed them all. He completed them all. And he was so great, Allah rewards him. Says, Allah says, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. O Ibrahim, I will make you a leader for all of mankind. You know how fascinating the Prophet Ibrahim is? All Abrahamic faiths although I don't like to use that term, because they don't really follow Ibrahim, they respect Prophet Ibrahim. Within Christianity, Abraham is looked up towards. Islam, of course, we know. Even Judaism, Ibrahim alayhi salam, is almost like Allah really preserved the legacy of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah said, I will make you a leader for mankind. Ibrahim is such in a mindset, he was thinking about his children. Not just his children, but his grandchildren. And his. He says, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. He said, oh, what about my offspring? Can you also make them imams? Allah says, قَالَ يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Among his children will be great people like Prophet Muhammad and Prophet Ismail. Prophet Muhammad is a direct descendant of Prophet Ibrahim, by the way. And he looked a lot like him as well. Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met Prophet Ibrahim in the seventh sky, when he met him, and he was telling his companion, he said, it was as if I was looking in the mirror. He said, oh, it was as if I was looking in the mirror. He looked like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah is telling us, look at Prophet Ibrahim. Everything he's asked, he does. Be more like Prophet Ibrahim. Allah tells us how Prophet Ibrahim was. As he's submitting to Allah, I want you to imagine, yeah, Prophet Ibrahim did so much. He is the only prophet that Prophet Muhammad is told to follow. وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And we have revealed upon you, O Muhammad, to follow the way of Ibrahim. Ibrahim is building the Kaaba. I want you to get into the mindset of Prophet Ibrahim. Why is he so special? He's building the Kaaba with his son Ismail. He's passing the stones. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ إِسْمَعِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. He's making dua. Oh Allah, accept this from us. Oh Allah, he's constantly making dua. رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. Oh Allah, make me and my son true submitters. He's asking Allah to make him someone that submits while he's submitting. Think about that. He's asking, oh Allah, make me someone. He's submitting right now. And he was submitting yesterday and he'll be submitting tomorrow. But even the word Muslim comes from Prophet Ibrahim. We say we're Muslims this, we're Muslims that. The word Muslim, what does it mean? Submitter. It means someone that submits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're amazed by Prophet Ibrahim, why is he held in such high regard? Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. We have chosen Ibrahim in this world. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And in the hereafter, he's among the righteous. Chosen in this world, righteous in the hereafter. And if you're wondering why does he get a special treatment? Allah says simple. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord said to him, submit. He said, I submit myself to the Lord of the worlds. Look at the contrast between him and Iblis. Iblis, he refuses. Arrogance. Ibrahim, the exact opposite. Look at the difference between him and Banu Israel. Banu Israel, they constantly refuse. Prophet Ibrahim, he submits. Allah says, do you want to know why Ibrahim is so special? Because when I tell him to do something, he does it. And when I tell him to stay away from something, he stays away from it. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then Allah tells us about Ibrahim and how concerned he was for his children. وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And Ibrahim, he gave that his last wish and advice, favorable advice to his children and to Yaqub, the father of Yusuf. يَا بَنِيَ, O my children, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. Allah has chosen you for this religion. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. Do not die except as Muslimun, submitters. His whole life was about that. We need to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that you've learned about that, you're ready now. Now you're ready for rulings. You're in the mindset now. Now when Allah tells you to do something, you're going to do it. The first story Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, after all of that, is a fascinating story. It's the story of the Qibla change, which happened in Medina. The Prophet ﷺ goes from Mecca to Medina. All this time, the Prophet was facing towards Al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. The Salah was towards there. Then, the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina. So in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ had the best of both worlds. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was attached to the Kaaba. By the way, I think I'm going a little bit longer today. Do you guys mind? It's a long surah. Do you guys mind? There's a brother over there that said to me, Sheikh, make it long today. Shall I point him out? Barakallahu feekum. I do apologize. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he moved to, when he was in Mecca, he was commanded, the Qibla was in the Kaaba. The Qibla was in the Kaaba. The Qibla was Al-Aqsa. But the Prophet ﷺ used to position himself in a way where he's facing the Kaaba and Al-Aqsa at the same time, which you can do. When you're in the Haram, you can do that, right? You stand towards the direction that is facing towards Al-Aqsa, and you stand behind the Kaaba. So he was facing both. But in Medina, he can't do that. Because if he faces the Kaaba, he's not facing Al-Aqsa. So the Prophet's mosque was facing towards Al-Aqsa for 16 months. Then the Prophet had a yearning to the Kaaba. He knew the Kaaba was special. He knew the Kaaba was the first house that was built by Prophet Ibrahim for the worship of Allah. And the Prophet had an attachment to the Kaaba, the house of Allah. And the Prophet would make dua, Ya Allah, I want to pray and face the Kaaba. But it wasn't revealed yet. And he would sometimes ask Angel Jibril. And Angel Jibril would say, we just do what we are told. No one has told us to face the Kaaba, so we're not going to do that. The Prophet would submit and he would face Al-Aqsa. Allah says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ Oh Muhammad, the Prophet became so desperate and for his yearning to the Kaaba that he started to look up. You know when you're making dua, if you start looking up, that means you're in a tough spot. Allah says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ We see you looking up, O Muhammad. فَلَنَوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا I will let you face a qibla that you're pleased with. The qibla change happened and the Prophet ﷺ was told to face the Kaaba. So they literally had to turn the masjid. They were praying that way for 16 months. Then Allah told them to face. So Fajr, they prayed towards Al-Aqsa. By Dhuhr, they were praying to the Kaaba. When that happened, there were some people, especially the people from the Jewish tribes, that converted because they saw Muhammad treating the Jerusalem as special. Oh yeah, he faces towards where we're from. MashaAllah, great. He's a great prophet. You know, there's a connection there with Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa. When he faced the Kaaba, they're like, what are you doing? I thought you were similar to us. And then they refused to submit. Many of them said, no. This is not going to work for us. Why is that important? We just learned about the concept of submitting. Prophet Muhammad wanted to face the Kaaba and he wouldn't because Allah did not allow him. Even when he was yearning, he was still praying Al-Aqsa because he has to submit. Jibreel is telling him, no news came down, continue facing Al-Aqsa. The moment the Kaaba is revealed, he turns, submitting. And something really fascinating happened. There's a mosque called Masjid al-Qiblatain. It's in Medina. You know why it's called Masjid al-Qiblatain, the two Qiblas? Because that in one Salah, so remember the Qibla change happened between Fajr and Dhuhr. Dhuhr, they praised toward the Kaaba. And then, by Asr time, someone walked from the Prophet's mosque to Masjid Bani Saluma, which is Qiblatain, which is far away. And he sees some of the companions, they're praying Asr to Al-Aqsa because they haven't heard yet. There was no phone or WhatsApp. Right? So they have no idea they're praying to Al-Aqsa. And in the middle of Salah, a companion walks in who knows about this. Says, the Qibla has been changed. What are you guys doing? You have to face the Kaaba now. Face Mecca. In Salah, what do? They submit. They turn in the middle of Salah. They literally turned towards the Kaaba and the Imam had to walk through the rows, go to the front, and they finished the Salah. That's why it's called Masjid al-Qiblatain. That story is a story of submission. They were facing Al-Aqsa because Allah told them to do so. They found out that the rule has changed. They're going to face Mecca. This is now, why did Allah tell us that story first? To tell you, listen, many rules will come down. Many laws will come down. Don't be like Banu Israel. Don't be like Iblis. Be like Prophet Ibrahim. And if you make a mistake, be like Prophet Adam. Then once all of this is revealed, my brothers and sisters, then the ahkam and the rulings start. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the rulings of jihad and the rulings of tawheed. Allah immediately, one of the first ayahs that are revealed after this is, and wallahi surah Baqarah is fascinating. Wa ilahukum ilahum wahid. Wa ilahukum ilahum wahid. La ilaha illahu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's tawheed. The first pillar of Islam. I want you to count. Let's see if you can get the five pillars first. La ilaha illahu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's no one worthy of worship except ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. That is the shahada, isn't it? Then Allah continues. After that, ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر true right. What is true righteousness? True righteousness is من آمن بالله whoever believes in Allah واليوم الآخر the hereafter والملائكة the angels والكتاب the books والنبيين the prophets. That's أركان الإيمان. وآت المال على حبه you give charity even though you like it. Why are you giving it? Because you're submitting. Who are you giving it to? The قربى relatives واليتامى the orphans والمساكين the poor people وابن السبيل the travelers والسائلين those that are asking you. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says وأقام الصلاة and established the prayer. That's the second arkan, isn't it? وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ And they give charity. Of the arkan, how many have you mentioned? Three. And then immediately after that, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام. Oh, you who believe, fasting has been made obligatory upon you. كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم, like those that came before you. لعلكم تتقون. How many of the five pillars do we have? We got four, right? Then let's turn the page a few times, and all of a sudden we have وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Complete Hajj and Umrah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The five pillars. Question, why did Allah not start with the rulings in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah? Because you're being prepared. You're being prepared. You are not able to truly appreciate what it means to do these acts of worship unless you internalize what it means to be a submitter. What is the Muslim? What is the Arabic word for submitter? Muslim. So for the first Jews of Surah Al-Baqarah, you're being told, what does it mean to be a Muslim? Do you need some examples? Here are Adam and Ibrahim. Who should you definitely not be like? Iblis and Banu Israel. Then inshallah, then it continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues the rulings. And there are so many things, so many prohibitions, and so many commandments in this surah. It continues on. Then we get into the rulings related to transactions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah speaks about divorce and marriage laws. Who should you marry? Who should you not marry? Allah speaks about the orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the widow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about so many different rulings. But that's okay, because now you're ready. Now you understand. Now you will submit. And then, as it continues, every now and then Allah will remind us why. Why are we doing all of this? Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Constantly reinforcing you doing it because Allah is worthy of worship. Allah is worthy of your worship. And how we worship Allah is by through doing all of this. Remember how one of the common threads and themes in the surah is also resurrection. And there's several times you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us a story of resurrection. One of them is with Ibrahim alayhi salam. Beautiful story. Ibrahim says, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Ibrahim one day said, oh Allah, show me how you revive the dead. Remember Ibrahim, the epitome and the pinnacle of submission is asking Allah, oh Allah, show me how you revive the dead. Is Ibrahim doubting? Absolutely not. He wants more yaqeen. Because my brothers and sisters, as much as we believe, your belief has the capacity to increase. If I tell you there are 7 black horses and 3 white horses outside the masjid right now, it would be such a strange thing, right? But you'd be like, you know what, the sheikh wouldn't lie. I'll probably believe him. If you go outside and you see them for yourself with your own eyes, you believe what? It increases. And if you then ride those horses, then your belief increases even more. This is known as yaqeen. Your certainty can increase. Prophet Ibrahim has absolutely no doubt Allah will revive the dead. But he wants to move himself from believing at the level of knowledge to believing with sight. He wants to see with his own eyes. Right? He's seeking more faith, not that he doubts. Allah says to him, when he says, show me how you revive the dead. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ Ibrahim, do you not believe? قَالَ بَلَا وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي Oh Allah, of course I believe. But I want my heart to be even more tranquil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to get 4 different birds. And then he slaughtered those birds into tiny pieces and puts them in different mountains and says, call them towards you. And in an instant they are there. Allahu Akbar. This lesson here is your iman has always capacity to grow. Your iman grows with listening to the Quran like we're doing right now. Your iman grows with prayer. Your iman grows in different ways. Continue seeking out ways for your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grow even more and more. I remember one time I was watching this video about a man who was thinking, shall I convert, shall I not convert? Shall I convert, shall I not convert? He's looking into Islam. And he was waiting for a sign. Maybe some of you have seen that video. He said, yeah, I was waiting for a sign. Something, you know, lightning or something, a wind, a gush, something. And then he said, I had the mushaf open and I turned the page and he says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Look towards yourself, do you not see? And he cried and he became a Muslim. There's always ways for our iman to increase. May Allah increase our iman. Allah continues speaking about charity. And wallahi, the way Allah speaks of charity in Surah Al-Baqarah is amazing. Allah does not tell us to give charity, but he gives us 7 or 8 ways to ensure we give charity in the best way possible. At the end of the surah, my brothers and sisters, I think I went too long. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us or tells us about the Sahaba. The Sahaba and how they submitted just like the prophets. Allah says, "Amanar Rasulu bima unzil ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun." The messenger and the believers with him believe what was revealed upon them. Kulun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. They all believed in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers. And they said, La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. We do not distinguish between any of the messengers, whether it is Ibrahim or Adam or Musa. We believe in all of them. We're not going to reject Isa like the Yahud did. Nor are we going to reject Muhammad like the Nasara did. We're going to accept all the prophets. And then they said what? وَقَالُوا And they said, سَمِعْنَا We hear. وَأَطَعْنَا We obey. That, again, that same theme. After so many rulings, what was the conclusion with the Sahaba? We hear and we obey. And then what did they say? غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ Forgive us, O Allah, and to you we shall return. Then the final ayah is so powerful. In the final ayah, we make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy on us, to not burden us more than we can bear. But look at in the end of the day, look at the last bit of Surah Al-Baqarah. We say, وَعَفُ عَنَّا O Allah, pardon us. Pardon us like you pardoned our father Adam. Like you pardoned our father, Adam. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا Forgive us if we behave like the Banu Israel. وَرْحَمْنَا Show us mercy by guiding us like you guided Prophet Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. أَنْتَ مُولَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ Oh Allah, you are our Mawla and our protector. And protect us and give us victory over the rejecters of the truth and disbelievers. Surah Al-Baqarah, brothers and sisters, if I summarize it in two words, is submission and belief. And we went through the whole surah, and that is what you're learning from that surah. The beginning of it is preparing you. Why? Who to follow, who not to follow, who to take as an example, what it means to submit, who submitted, who didn't. And the latter of the surah is all the rulings, so that you are able now to follow. The next time you say, I'm a Muslim, I want you to deep what that means. It means I'm a submitter. It means that when Allah tells me to do something, I'll do it to the best of my ability. May Allah make us among those. Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, tomorrow is Surah Ali Imran, a beautiful story. A lot to do with Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll reflect on that, inshallah ta'ala. See you then. هذا آخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين.